All right. You know, a four-year-old and a six-year-old, they presented their mom with a houseplant. You know, they had used their own money that they had earned. They used their own money to buy it, and so mom was thrilled. And the older one said with a sad face, though, he says, you know, there was a bouquet in the flower shop that we really wanted to give to you, but it was really pretty, but it was a little too expensive. And it was really nice, though. It had a big ribbon on it, and it said, rest in peace. And he said, we thought it'd be perfect because you're always asking for a little peace just so that you can rest. So we're all searching for peace. Okay. Everyone's searching for peace. You know, but only a few actually have it. And it's only those saved by grace that have true peace. Going to read Ephesians 2 today. Ephesians 2, verses 11 through 18. So it says, therefore, remember that formerly you who are Gentiles by birth and called uncircumcised by those who call themselves the circumcised, which is done in the body by human hands, remember that at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two groups one, and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by setting aside in his flesh the law with its commands and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new humanity out of the two, thus making peace, and in one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you who were far away, and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. You know, grace and peace is led in most of the New Testament books that always lead grace and peace to you. And that's because grace is first, because there can't be peace without grace. You have to have the grace of God. You have to have him in your life. And then once you have it, you have where peace is the fruit of the Spirit. And the fruit of the Spirit is what you have when you have the Holy Spirit indwelling in you. So you should possess peace. If you have the Holy Spirit, you've accepted Christ, he's in your life, and the Holy Spirit's dwelling in you. Peace is one of those characteristics of the Holy Spirit that you can have, the fruit of the Spirit. It's not fruits, it's fruit of the Spirit. They are all combined. You get them all part of your life. You know, peace is generally thought of as an absence of conflict. That's how we typically look at it, but you know, there's man-made peace, but man-made peace is created by, generally, there's some manipulation, there's some false promises. It's generally temporary at best. All okay. It's a superficial peace that's on the outside. It's not a deep internal peace that we can have, you know. Agreements are made by one or two parties for, it ends up being worldly reasons, what's going on around us, the circumstances that we're in. There's something to gain by somebody, either in power or possibly wealth or in recognition or praise by drawing into a peace. There's something to gain by it. You know, grace leads to peace, which leads to communion with others. It allows us to have that relationship with others. True peace is genuine. It's satisfying. It's permanent in Christ. It's a peace that leaves you content, leaves you fulfilled, but not due to the lack of the issues. They still exist. But you can have peace in the times you're going through things. They're still there. But peace requires forgiveness. Peace requires love. And peace with God allows you to have those things. Because he's given you the spirit to have those things. The love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. He's given you those things with his spirit. Colossians 1:19 through 20 says, "For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross." You know, Jesus breaks down barriers. He removes walls, you know, that keep us from peace, that keep us from him. You know, the Jews and Gentiles, as we read, they didn't get along. You know, Jews didn't want to be a Gentile. Thank God I'm not a Gentile. Of course, they all thank God I'm not a woman. And thank God I'm who I am. You know, they had their own interpretation of who they were and thought they were pretty mighty. But even in the temple, you know, Jews had the inner court. The Gentiles had the outer court. They were even separated as far as the temple goes. And if you think about it, even the Jews couldn't go into the Holy of Holies where God, you know, lived. It was only a priest allowed to go in once a year to offer atonement for the people. So they were even separated themselves from God at that time. But still, they chose, you know, they separated. Separation makes one group feel superior, generally. And the Jews felt that way. It's like, you know, no, we've got the law. You don't. That's ours. He's our God. He's not yours. You know, we're God's chosen people. You're not. And that's the way they felt about Gentiles and others, that they were a little better than they were. And you know, they felt that way about Samaritans and things that lived there. But, you know, when we get self-righteous, we tend to make demands on other people, or there's expectations. And, you know, Jesus pointed out that everyone needs peace through grace. You know, we're all the same. There's not one better. We all need grace, and we all need the peace that he offers. It doesn't come just because of your certain person. Like I say, when we're like that, people demand certain actions and certain responses and certain ways of living for acceptance. And otherwise, hostility begins to build between those differences. You know, even the woman in adultery, if you remember, and everybody knows it, you know, she was brought and thrown down before Jesus, that she was caught in adultery. You know, what are you going to do about it? We're supposed to stone her. What do you say? And of course, we know Jesus went the way of love. He said, okay, you without sin, you go ahead and throw the first one. You throw the first stone. And we know he was writing on the ground, and there's various things to think that he wrote on the ground. And, you know, it could have been the Ten Commandments. It could have been some of those people were known to have lady friends as well. He could have been writing their name and her name in the ground. He could have been writing lots of things. We don't know for sure, but he got their attention and got their... So we know they all threw the rocks down and left. Jesus picked love over the law and forgiveness. No, we need to do that. It's the judge not, lest ye be judged. You know, as we judge others, that's how we're going to be judged by. And, you know, we're more the same than we're not. Jesus taught no one is better. You know, we're all in the same boat. We all need grace. We all need his peace. And we're all going to stand before God and give an account. So don't think we're better than anybody else. You know, and then God made a way. You know, it says he made peace. He reconciled all people to himself. You know, he provided a way of peace for all people. You know, he made a new covenant by fulfilling the old one. Because no one was acceptable under the law. No one could get there under the law. But he made a way. He made a way that there's a peace between God and us. that there's not that barrier anymore. You know, he tore that curtain down when he shed his blood. He says he himself is our peace. He came and made peace. He did. He made peace. He did what he had to do to get rid of that separation between us and God. He's the source of our peace. You know, Jesus, through that, provides unity and relationships through peace. He preached peace to everyone. Several places he's talking about peace. His blood allows for peace between God and us. The barrier of sin's broken. The curtain's torn. We're in a right relationship with God through Jesus Christ. We can commune with God directly. We don't have to go through somebody else. We're directly with Him. And through Him, we have access to the Father by one Spirit. That's the whole Trinity working in our favor. Through Him, Jesus, we have access to the Father by one Spirit. We have all of those things. The Trinity is there for us. Romans 5:1 says, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Once again, that peace comes once we're born again, once we're a part of God's family. You know, Christians are born again. He says we're made into a new person. We're made into a new being. It's a new life because of the peace with God and the peace we should have with others. You know, a body of believers. A church is full of reborn people. You know, church is a place to come as you are, but not to stay that way. Church is for change. Church is for unity. Church is for combining people into the same body. Now, everything today is about inclusion. That's all we hear, inclusion. And, you know, I think about that. I think a church isn't inclusive of all kinds of different people. Sure, it's made up of a lot of different people, and we invite all to come. But it's different people who change into a unified body, according to God's word, and are the same in the Lord. It's a group of obedient people that love God and love each other. Each one has different talents, different abilities, but are all the same as far as having Jesus Christ as our Savior and our desire to worship Him. Jesus gives us that peace and that unity. People look for peace in a lot of places. Look for it in meditation forms and forms of relaxation and, you know, that finding my peace. And, you know, I like the kids' shows, you know. I like the Kung Fu Panda show, you know. I still like those. Kung Fu Panda Master Shifu is always looking for inner peace. Inner peace. He's always lying down, you know, inner peace. Of course, Po the panda is always bugging him to death, so he never gets inner peace. And, you know, he's not going to in the way he's striving to get it. But people striving for that inner peace, you'll never have peace if you don't have Christ in your life. It truly is a peace that passes all understanding, because it can only come from God. It allows for peace despite all of the situations we're in, despite what's all going around us. I hope you felt that, at least sometime in your life, that you've had that peace. I hope you have it all the time. It's there. I'm going to have an invitation. I want to finish with John 14, verses 25 to 27 before the invitation. John 14, 25 to 27. It says, "All this I have spoken while still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give as you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not be afraid." Repeated words time and again. Don't be afraid. You can have peace in every kind of worldly trouble you face if you just give it to God. You just let Him have it. Let Him be in control. Trust Him with it. You know, I know Annette and Rochelle and the family have a peace. Daryl had a peace as well. It came through in their words, but it also came through in their actions. It came through in their spirit. They have a peace about it. It's what God can give in very tough situations. I think Seth Bales has a peace. All the things he goes through, he still has the joy, which I think comes from the peace he has with God. We can have that same peace through God. There's a train traveling through the night, very violent rainstorm. The lightning flashes were almost blinding. The rain was hitting the windows, was deafening, and the strong gusty winds rocked the train from side to side. And when the lights flashed and lit up the darkness, the passengers could see the rising water along the tracks. Well, this created terror in the minds of the passengers. And several passengers noted, though, that through all the noise and the lightning and the wind and the rain, one of the passengers, a little girl, seemed to be at perfect peace. The adult passengers couldn't figure out why the little girl was so calm during all the excitement that was going on. So finally, one passenger asked her, said, "How is it that you can be so calm when the rest of us are so worried about what might happen?" And she smiled and said, "My father's the engineer. My father's the engineer." Is your heavenly Father in control? Do you fully trust Him? Do you give Him control? If you have, you can have a perfect peace. That's not of this world. Put Him in control if you haven't. Let Him have it. You can smile too when the rough things come by. Have the peace He wants you to have. The peace He made, the peace He gives you. The peace that's above understanding. Let's pray.